Good afternoon. I'd like to call to order the Design Review Board meeting of Tuesday, May 25th, 2021. May we have roll call, please?
Member Clinton?
Present.
Member DeGasis?
I'm here.
Member Iman?
Here.
Member Hart?
Here.
Member Whalen?
Here.
Vice Chair Schellenberger. Are you here? Chair Branch.
Here.
Thank you.
And now we will have the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, this meeting is being conducted utilizing teleconferencing and electronic means consistent with the State of California Executive Order N2920, dated March 17, 2020, regarding the COVID-19 pandemic. The live stream of the meeting may be viewed on television and or online. In accordance with Executive Order N2920, the public may only view the meeting on the Channel 19 and or online at the city's website, and not in the council chamber. So with that, we'll start with our public forum. At this time, the public shall have an opportunity to comment on any non-agenda item relevant to the jurisdiction of the city. Linda, do you have any show of hands, or emails.
Would any attendees who want to speak on an item not on today's agenda, please click on the hand raise icon now. And Chair Branch, I do not see anyone at this time.
All right, very good. Then with that, we will move to our administrative agenda, which is the review and approval of the Design Review Board minutes for May 11th. Would somebody please make a motion for that?
A motion to approve the minutes.
Okay.
Minutes proposed.
I second. All right.
Karis actually made the motion first, so Dennis, you want to be the second?
I'll second the motion.
Okay, motion made by Member Whalen and seconded by Member Clinton. Any discussion on the minutes? None? Very good. Good job, Linda. We'll take a vote by way of roll call.
Member Clinton?
Aye.
Member DeGasis?
I'm abstaining. I was absent.
Member Einman?
Aye.
Member Hart?
Aye.
Member Whalen?
Yes.
Vice Chair Schellenberger?
Aye.
Thank you. Chair Branch?
Aye. Very good. This will take us now to, I believe, if I have this right, a review of agenda, which I'm assuming all is happening. Is that right, Mary?
Yes, Chair Branch, good afternoon. Board members, no changes on the agenda today.
Very good. Then we'll start with our conceptual preliminary final review, item B1. Linda, if you could read that in the record, please.
Yes, item B1 is the overall sign plan for 120 Cremona Avenue, Cremona Drive, located at 120 Cremona Drive, APN 073-330-014. Case number 21-000-OSP.
Very good. Has everybody visited the site? Member Iman? Site visit and any ex parte?
I visited in person and no ex parte communication.
Very good. Greg Hart?
Visited virtually and no ex parte.
Very good. Martha?
Virtual, no ex parte.
Dennis?
No visit and no ex parte.
Karis?
Virtual visit and no ex parte. And isn't this where we usually have our meetings?
Next door, but yeah. Craig?
No new site visit, no ex parte.
And same here. And so with that, Chris, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Chair Branch. Good afternoon, members of the board. This is for, 120 Cremona Drive, which is right next door to City Hall. We could hit it with a stone if we were at City Hall right now. I'll keep both of my presentations short today and just focus on the discussion points. This project is very similar to the overall sign plan that was approved last year for 125 and 175 Cremona. And here we have a little bit of chicken and egg in that the buildings at 125, 175 Cremona, they've been approved through the DRB, also previously approved last year, revised sign building color. The sign, overall sign plan that was approved for 125, 175 Cremona is almost identical to this one for 120 Cremona in front of City Hall. The main differences are due to the fact that the entrance is shared with City Hall. And so there's a very minor change to the heading compared to the heading on the entrance freestanding panels across the street, and half of the four tenant panels are reserved for use at City Hall or 130 Cremona. If you were to walk around on site today, I'm actually not sure if the buildings have been painted yet, but the proposed sign colors here match the approved building paint colors across the street. The approved sign colors across the street were approved to match the old building colors. So once this application here is resolved, then we will kind of correct the overall sign plan and make for across the way to make sure that it all matches. And then the existing building color at 120 Cremona, where this site is currently the original colors that the applicant proposes to match the approved colors across the street. So in essence, this overall sign plan matches what is intended at all properties for both the buildings and the signs. We just have to get everything there and through the proper process with your approval as needed. So with that, I think it's, if you followed that, I think it's otherwise fairly straightforward here. And in the interest of time, I will perhaps, Chair Branch, would you like to turn it over to you for questions, or would you prefer to hear from the applicant?
We can hear from the applicant. I just wanted to verify one thing based on what you just said, if I understand correctly, so that my pointed little head can understand it. And that is that this building is going to be painted at some point to match the ones across the street. Is that correct?
That is, the applicant anticipates proposing to do that at a future date in the not too distant future. We don't yet have that application, nor do we have the approval.
But so, this OSP is making this building and its sign plan match identically the sign plan across the street, and at some point, and when this building gets painted, then those three buildings will be in complete sync with regards to aesthetics and sign plan. Is that correct?
Close. The existing building at 120, yes. So that, assuming the DRB grants approval for that future proposed change, then yes, everything would match. And we also need to get the approved overall sign plan across the street to match the updated colors. The signs as they exist today have been painted to match, but the overall sign plan itself matches the old colors. It wasn't submitted to match the colors that were then approved around the same time. So
this OSP is actually catching up to what's existing in the field.
This OSP is new. The revision to the OSP across the street that was approved last year, that revision will catch it up to what is already existing now and approved on the building.
Got it. Okay. I think I've got that. All right, you could turn it over to the applicant to quickly walk us through what they're proposing.
Good afternoon, thank you. This is Mark from Signature Signs. Can everyone see and hear me?
Yep.
Okay, excellent. Just to re-clarify Chris's point with regard to the color scheme, basically the application to repaint the building specific colors was a process virtually simultaneously with the OSP for that property. And so the signs were essentially repainted the color of that the building will be As Chris mentioned, just to clarify, the building has, the buildings across the street, 125 and 175, have not yet been painted, but they will be painted the approved colors. And at that point, the three existing monument signs and the buildings will all be color keyed alike. And so it's those colors, which are essentially white, will be consistent with the updated monument signs that we're proposing in the OSP for 120. And then, as Chris mentioned, the ownership intends to submit a request to repaint the 120 building that same color as well. So ultimately, everything will be color keyed the same. Does that further clarify? We're just basically catching up on the fact that the monument signs were permitted in their original color. They were not permitted in, through the OSP in the new color. So it's just basically a catch up application that we'll be doing through Chris. Good. Everyone good on that point?
Yep.
Okay. First off, I want to begin by saying that the version of the OSP that you're evaluating today is actually version 3. Chris has been exemplary in really kind of chaperoning us through the process. We kind of anticipated that the 120 sign program would be virtually a carbon copy of 125 and 175, but ultimately it was significantly unique in terms of the property, the dual ownership, and the signage itself. And so Chris has been, you know, very giving of his time, and I know that the city is very resource constrained right now, and we really appreciate that he was very accommodating in getting us to the point where essentially we have a version that, with, you know, just a few additional changes that are needed, hopefully will meet with your approval. And at the very least, it should seem pretty familiar. So essentially, the sign program for Tech Park at Cremona 2 is kind of a continuation of Majestic's management's initiative to acquire and upgrade and update various properties in the Goleta area. They've been investing very heavily in infrastructure around the city, and you'll be hearing more from us later on some other properties where we're going to be participating and upgrading and submitting applications. So the broad picture here is, you know, this is certainly part of their initiative to invest heavily in the city commercial infrastructure, especially in some of the buildings that potentially are older and have not really been upgraded in recent times. The sign program for 120, as Chris mentioned, is intended to essentially carry forward the aesthetic and the, if you would, the branding of the 125 and the 175 properties that have already been approved and upgraded. The 175 and 125 properties essentially share two corner monument signs, which essentially label the property entryways. And the 125 and 175 each have a multi-tenant monument, which have since been upgraded. And we're requesting that the 120, which is also the 120-130 shared monument, be upgraded to match that aesthetic. What Chris is showing you now is essentially the requested upgrade to the single corner monument closest to City Hall. This would be a match, again, to what we have already upgraded at 125-175. The monument sign for multi-tenants A little bit different. The header is a bit different to accommodate the two addresses. The header for 175 and 125 refers to Tech Park at Cremona. And in this case, we're dispensing with that particular branding to have a header that essentially represents both buildings, both properties, since the driveways obviously are shared. So the way that we've kind of worked this in terms of accommodating both properties and owners and occupants is to essentially demise the monument sign equally, so that the city of Goleta, essentially 130, has the rights to brand half of the sign, and our tenants will demise the other half of the sign. And Chris, I don't know if you have, or if I provided you with the actual layout that the city has approved, that the assistant city manager has approved for the Goleta side of the sign-in?
Yeah, it was in an earlier version of the OSP, which I could dig around and provide, but it essentially is some fairly basic text that says City of Goleta in the top panel and City Hall in the bottom panel.
Yeah, and actually in logo format. And so that has already been approved in principle by the assistant city manager. And we have a contract to install those graphics for them concurrent with the upgrades to the monument sign. One of the things I would want to clarify, and this is kind of one of the things where we need to catch up, Chris had mentioned, shown here, the monument itself is shown in its basically current concrete color. So this would be painted white. Essentially the concrete portion would be painted white to match the other two signs and the other four signs across the street. And also in the final stamped revision, these diagrams would be updated to show the correct colors. And the same applies to that slide as well. We actually did update it on the corner monument, but we just didn't have a sufficient time to update the other slides.
And I have, so this is the color scheme that Mark is referring to here with the white background. And I do have images of these signs across the street that also illustrate, you know, what it actually looks like when painted as described.
Shall I continue?
Yes, please proceed.
Okay, thank you. Like the sign program that was previously approved for 12575, we are proposing multiple non-illuminated signs for the tenants, to all of which are fairly discreet in size and location. We have proposed on the north elevation to allow up to two signs. The building, as you may recall, is fairly wide in length. In addition, it's fairly well obstructed by various trees. And so we had to be careful to allow the tenants the ability to place signs in two of three possible locations as shown here. These locations correspond with entryways because the building has been and will in the future be subdivided for various tenants to allow direct access through the entries. So we've accommodated one sign over the left entry, one sign in two possible locations, I should say, high and low, or low, over the left entry, and a lower sign over the central entry. And the reason for that is, again, because there is a fairly large tree that potentially would obscure the upper location. So
you have the other elevations for us to see where you're going to have.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
I was just going to say, I'm actually, we're limited on time, so if you can kind of go through each elevation and then each sign type, if that's what you have.
Fair enough. I'll push through it and you stop me if you need anything. So we're requesting one sign on the west elevation, as shown here at the upper sign band.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, if you just want to push through the slides, I'll just comment as needed. And this is essentially the sign type, as I mentioned, a non-illuminated sign fabricated from aluminum, typically about 1 inch deep. So they have some profile substance to them. And also, as I mentioned, fairly discreet in terms of their overall size. There has been one sign installed so far across the street for Lull, just basically a logo. It says Lull. Mm-hmm. And so we do have a physical example of the approved sign type on that building. That's all I have, unless there are questions. These are the examples Chris mentioned of the signs that have been whose upgrades have been completed across the street.
Okay.
Here we are proposing again for 120.
Got it. Okay. Okay.
I will mute, but I'll be available for questions.
Thank you very much, Mark.
Thank you.
Okay. This seems fairly straightforward. I'm going to say we combined questions and comments under the guise of being expeditious. Jonathan, you want to go first?
No questions. Looks like a good plan to me.
Okay. Greg Hart?
I agree. It looks fine to me. I have no questions.
Martha?
Looks good. I have no questions.
Very good. Dennis?
No questions nor comments.
Very good. Kara? Where'd she go? She went away.
Sorry, I hit the wrong button.
There you go.
I have one just sort of comment for the city of Goleta. If you do get a whole part of the sign, maybe to use it as a single portion in some of the examples you showed later on. And if you have the sign where the building is on the one side and the other building is on the other side, maybe to have that be reflected in the sign, whichever way the building is on. But other than that, I have no questions or comments. You guys are doing a great job. Carry on.
I'm happy to respond to that if you like.
No, Nate, that's you can it's a suggestion. It's not
just so when you drive in. The left side building has the left side writing, and the right side building has the right side building, depending on where the sign is located, obviously. Yes, and there's the option. Perfect.
That's for you to just consider. Yeah. So, okay, very good. Yeah. Craig Schallenberger.
I have no questions or comments and support the project as submitted.
Same here. No questions, no comments. Support the project. So, Karis, did you want to add something?
Oh, I was just going to make a motion to approve Perfect. The OSC with the findings from staff.
Very good. Can I get a second? Seconded by Member Hart.
Chair Branch?
Yes.
You may want to check with the public to see if anyone wants to speak on this item.
Linda, have any raised hands for public comment?
Would any attendees who want to speak on this item, please click on the hand raise icon now. And no one has clicked on the icon, Chair Merch.
All right, any discussion? All right, well then we'll take a vote by way of roll call.
Member Clinton?
Aye.
Member DeGasis? Member Iman?
Aye.
Member Hart?
Aye.
Member Whalen?
Aye.
Vice Chair Schellenberger?
Aye.
Chair Branch?
Aye. Motion passes. All right, thank you very much. And then with that, that will move us to our next item, item B2. None of you could read that in the record.
Item B2 is also conceptual, preliminary, and final review. It's the Goodall first and second story addition, facade, changes, lighting, and hedge, located at 6212 Avenida Gorion, APN 077-262-008, case number 21-0002-LUP.
Okay, declarations. Martha?
Virtual site visit and no ex parte.
Very good. Greg Hart?
Virtual site visit and no ex parte.
Okay, Jonathan?
Virtual site visit, no ex parte.
Dennis?
Site visit, no ex parte discussions.
Karis?
Virtual site visit, no ex parte.
Craig Schellenberger?
No site visit, no ex parte, although I am very familiar with the neighborhood.
And I had virtual site visit and no ex parte. So, Chris, proceed.
Thank you, Chair Branch. This is a second story addition, the first and second story addition with a couple discussion points, and I'll just skip straight to that. The first off, the request is actually in two phases, and so because of that, you have two sets of elevations, one for phase one, one for phase two. The reasoning behind that is for financial considerations, as written in the staff report, the applicant has requested to be allowed to proceed with most of the full proposed addition and then put off part of it and have some degree of certainty that he will be able to complete the fully envisioned project at a later date when the finances allow. So I'm here going to just focus on the second phase because that really is the ultimate goal that the applicant is trying to get to. And it, generally speaking, I suspect that if you can find neighborhood compatibility about phase two, then you can also do so about phase one. But that is, of course, your call. So with that said, with all second story additions, you have, as mentioned in the staff report, you have the neighborhood privacy concerns. The applicant has proposed some additional trees at the rear yard to help address that concern. I'll just, I guess, here we go. So it spans most of the rear yard fence. There are no windows in the second story on the sides, so there would be no neighborhood privacy issues to the east or west, north or south, I should say. Along with that, hedge, the new trees is a hedge, and Title 17 has new requirements about hedges. Unless approved with a permit, they can't exceed 10 feet. And these naturally grow to between 10 to 12 feet, I'm told by the applicant. So to prevent the need to top off the very top bit, the applicant, based on staff's suggestion, has requested the as part of the permit to allow them to grow up to 13 feet, which would should allow them to never have to be topped. So that is part of the request, and it would further improve privacy for the neighbors to the rear. One of the other discussion points is about floor area. to help inform that, the applicant has prepared this, which shows you where the proposed project is and how there are several two-story residences in the general neighborhood of the property, including one directly across the street and another further down, actually two others further down on the same street. With respect to floor area ratio, it would exceed the threshold at which DRB review is required to approve it. It's already required anyway because it's a second story addition. So approving the project is approving the project in that sense. With respect to floor area, it would not be the largest house on the property, on the street. The house across the street would actually remain the largest house on the street. And with respect to floor area ratio, it would tie for the greatest floor area ratio percentage. These numbers down here showing 108% are excluding the garage because all of this data is based on county data, which also excludes the garage, whereas Title 17 of Goleta's Municipal Code, as we've discussed before, now includes the garage. So trying our best to compare, to provide information to you that actually compares apples to apples here. And let's see, the we talked about, oh, and the last piece to talk about is lighting. The proposed lighting is consistent with Title 17 requirements if the Design Review Board can make the findings about dark sky compliance. So in this particular case, there are three lights. I can show you. Let me get to the lighting plan here. Oops. So there are three lights at the rear of the property that include uplighting. We're talking about these three marked L2, and this is what the proposed light would be. So it would have uplighting, and uplighting in Title 17 is generally not allowed unless it's shielded in some way. And the proposed shield in this case is the 24-inch roof overhang. And if I remember right from the staff report, that would be about 2.5 feet above the top of this light. So a 2.5 foot overhang, a 2 foot overhang, 2.5 feet above the top of this uplight. So if you're able to find neighborhood, not neighborhood compatibility, but dark sky compliance with that, then these lights would be allowed. And I think that concludes what I have here.
Okay, is the applicant here to present?
Yes. Good afternoon, Chairman Scott, Branch, and members. Yes, as Chris noted, our proposal is a two-phase plan. Primarily, we're going to install or plan to want to install the first floor additions, as well as the playroom above the new dining room. Chris, the old page, yeah, there's four. So you can see the existing back bedroom, that is bedroom four, ends in line with the edge of the garage, and there's some real estate between the end of that wall and the setback. We would like to expand that wall out to roughly the setback, which you can see on the proposed plan below, with the bathroom wall that angles in line with the setback. Because of the dimensions of the property, we're on sort of a pie. So we have a slanted wall in the bathroom there. And then on the other side of the property, you'll have noted there's about a 12-inch recess from the exterior wall for the addition. That's to account for the angled setback along that side of the property. It works out nicely. It's a nice place to do a built-in in the future. So currently, if we go up to the existing plan view, we have a covered patio that is north of the existing living and dining room. And the roof actually goes all the way across at a constant extension across that patio from the bedroom floor through the kitchen. And then the roof comes back to the house with only a 2-foot overhang from that back wall at the chimney. Our intent is to remove the chimney and extend out that area to create an actual dining room. Right now, this is a pretty cramped space. With both the dining and the living room, all is one, butted up with the kitchen there and the sliding glass doors. So that's our goal for the first floor. And in addition to that, we have a 1.5-year-old son and intend to have more kids and would love to have a playroom. So we are proposing that as a room directly above the new kitchen. At this point, phase one includes just the playroom. So that hallway opening would be closed at the end of the first phase of construction. We would design it such that if future construction takes place, we could open up that wall. It would be immediately a hallway, and we could add the additional rooms and bathroom on the second story. All of this, our goal is, this is our home. My wife and I just bought the property in August, and we're wanting to develop it as a forever home for our family, and want to have kids, more kids. So that's the goal here. And her family's out of town, mine's out of state, so the additional bedrooms are in part so all family can come together. So that's where we come up with this second story addition that's part of phase two with the additional bedrooms. And as Chris noted, that would be down the line, pending funding and finances. But at this point, we would like to have it reviewed. And obviously, if we're going to do that second story, we're going to need to strengthen the foundations beneath those exterior walls. And the best time to do that is now while we're doing foundation work for this first floor and phase one addition. If we go to sheets five, Chris. As Chris noted, we have the lighting that includes some uplighting. The picture right next to it shows about as much lighting as we get out of that fixture. It's very minimal. As Chris noted, it will be shielded by the roof, which overhangs. It's at a 4-12 slope, starting 2.5 feet above the light and overhangs 2 feet at the lights. For phase one, we will not be replacing the roof over the locations these lights are proposed. Phase two will replace the roof, and so the new height of the roof over the lights would be approximately 10.5 feet. So there's a little more distance there, but still these lights, the amount of light that's emitted up and down is very minimal. They're more of a pathway light to illuminate going from the back bathroom over to the back French doors. And if we go to sheet seven, I think this paints the best picture of what exactly we're proposing. In line with wanting to be cognizant of the neighbors and the neighborhood, the fact that there are second story properties, but a lot of the properties in this neighborhood, they're single story. We don't want to overshadow anyone or present a gargantuan structure at the curb, which can happen with second story additions. All of the additions proposed behind the ridge, and so you can see in the bottom right drawing there, that's the view from the street of the fully developed phase two plan. There's only about 4.5 feet of reveal for that second story for the most part. Over the garage, there's a little more reveal. But for the most part, it will present a smaller building on the street versus if we took those walls and pulled them to the front of the property, it would look more like a monolith. So that's the impetus for our design, building that wall behind the ridge. And then, Chris, if we can go to the next sheet, sheet eight. Back one. There you go. So this is a landscape plan. For the landscaping, we're proposing artificial turf. The purpose of this is it's the south facing, the northern north arrow. It was left over from another sheet. North is to the left on the page. So the front of the house has south facing, is south facing. It gets constant sun. During some of the last few rains, we had a significant amount of weeds bloom, and then a month later, they've all died. So there's the sun just bakes everything on that side of the property. That in mind, wanting to conserve water and still have an attractive front yard, we're proposing the artificial turf for that area. We're also going to reconstruct the concrete paths that go from the driveway to the front door and from the sidewalk to the front door. Put in a couple of steps, which you can see in the bottom left detail on the sheet. So give it more of a stepped approach to the door versus a continuous half. And within those steps, about halfway between the step and the sidewalk and each additional step, we'll have a ribbon of gray basket weave Yorkstone concrete paver, and that's a bluish-gray paver. That will go into that section, contrast nicely with the gray concrete. And then for the house itself, we're proposing a navy color for the majority of the house and a pale navy, which is a grayish navy, for the ribbon of second story that will be visible from the front of the house. I'll go into a little more of that when we go to the materials or the material board. As Chris noted, we're proposing to plant additional American arborvitae at the back of the property. That's primarily for privacy for the neighbors. Once we construct the second story, the window that we're proposing over the dining room, as well as the bay window and the window on the most easterly side of the property, would have a view into the neighbors who are northwest backyard. To curtail that, we plan on planting these trees. They grow up to a height of 13 feet or 10 to 12 feet, max 13. And Chris, you can show the line of sight exhibit. We put a map showing what the optic is from those second story windows. As you can see, that attached area on the south of that arc, that's fully obstructed view once the arborvitaes are in place. We also have a large avocado tree in the backyard that's range of, might have grown up to 20 feet by now. It needs to be trimmed a bit, but it serves really well to help shield the neighbors and help block the area, especially once we have those second story windows. There is some partially obstructed view to the east and to the north. It's blocked by a hedge that's about 10 feet tall. And at the back of the property, we have a 6-foot fence that's 2.5 feet higher than the existing grade and the existing grade at the base of the house. So it provides some obstruction for the neighbors. It doesn't perfectly obscure any views into their property. And there's also a telephone pole in the back, which does help to block views.
Okay.
Then, Chris, we can go back to the property and go to sheet 9 for the material board. So, as I mentioned, we're proposing a navy blue paint for all of the house, except for the ribbon that's visible from the front yard or the front of the house. We're proposing a hail navy, which is a grayish navy paint. And we'll cut it off at the corners of the house by putting white siding going from the roof down to the roof below. So a nice cut off. It'll help separate that grayish navy from the rest of the navy of the house. And it'll, in my opinion, tie in quite well with the reddish brownish roof that we currently have. And the shingle color that we're proposing for all additional roofs will match the existing. And then that gray basket weave Yorkstone paver there on the right, that's the paver we're proposing to go in that ribbon raking up some of the sidewalk sections in the front yard. So that's the house and our proposal. I hope you guys appreciate it as much as we do.
All right. Well, thank you very much. In the realm of trying to hurry the meeting along, like Mary had said, I think we'll start with, we'll combine questions and comments. You can ask staff or whatever, if you, or the applicant if you have questions. Dennis, you want to go first?
Oh, sure. Thank you, Chair Branch. First question is for Mr. Noddings. I'm somewhat confused on how the board is to review two phases. Could it be potentially that, yeah, as you mentioned, we do approve one and not the other? I'm just a little bit confused about that. So conceivably, we could not approve two and reject one, right? But we could approve first phase, but not the second phase. Could you help out at all, Mr. Noddings?
I believe that I see Mary coming on here. Mary, would you like to answer? I can. I'm happy to as well. But
yeah, I'm sure you could, Chris. So what you're looking at is the overall design. Is process-wise, we do have a process of breaking the phase one, phase two, and would be through a planning permit. But you're really looking at the overall design, whether you can approve the so-called first phase and second phase, and that's what we're asking for from the beyond.
So, for example, let me just jump in. And, for example, we've just gone through phase two because that's their approved, that's their desired result. But for reasons of finances or desire or whatever, they may not do that because they're building phase one first. So we, and by we I mean the community, may be left with phase one, with phase two never happening. Is that correct?
Yes, that is possible, which is partly why we brought it to you in this way, so that it's two options. One, it shows that, you know, if the board approves, the board does approve of phase one, and it could remain that way. There's no, the city can't require that phase two be completed. So that is correct. And also, you know, it is, if there's an issue, if the board has an issue approving phase two, you have ready at here for you an alternate proposal, if you will, as phase one, which you could also, you could approve that one and reject phase two, or request changes to phase two, or however you would like to proceed. This you could see this as two different projects in one, depending on how you would like to view it.
Yeah, that's confusing. I have a question for Mary. Is this meeting supposed to wrap up by 4 o'clock or 4:30?
Before 4:30.
4:30. Okay. Okay. Sorry. Dennis, proceed.
All right, then I'll continue. Mr. Goodall, are you the designer? I don't see any indication on the drawings of who made this design.
Yes, I am the designer.
All right. And what is the floor height of the second story? I look at one of the drawings where it seems to indicate that there's a change in level from phase one to phase two by a dotted line.
Right. So there is a change in the level from phase one to phase two. The floor level at the second story for phase one is 10 and a half feet, and then we drop down to 10 feet the phase two level. The roof level stays, it's almost the same. There's a 2 inches of difference in the ridge height between phase one and phase two.
And the first floor height is that a standard 8 foot 9 foot.
The first floor, so the all of the rooms in the existing home are cathedral ceilings, except for the kitchen, which is at 9 feet. So we would be, for this first phase, the dining room would be at 10 feet, and that's sort of a structural requirement in order to make some of the beams work. And then when we go into phase two, we would set the ceiling height in the rooms that are going to be added onto at 9 feet.
All right.
And then the second story would be standard 8 feet, yes.
That's helpful. Could you go to sheet A7, please? There are some curious symbols that I don't understand. They are sort of red bullseyes out in the corners. What are those?
Those are the power poles in the backyard.
Power poles, thank you. Yes, there are. There is quite a bit of spaghetti back there. And then on the elevation, that would be the south elevation, I notice that there's quite a bit of, well, the drawings have excluded, yeah, you had it there, on the master bedroom there, there are some architectural expressions on the existing building. This drawing seems to indicate that that will all be removed and replaced with plaster. Can you confirm that?
Yes, that is correct. So on the left side of the building there, there are, I believe, 4 wooden architectural features, and the plan is to remove those, stucco over the space, and repaint.
All right. And then my last question before I get to comments, have you consulted with any of your neighbors about the project?
We have. We've spoken to a number. Our property happens to be on one of the paths from Los Carneros over to the east area over here, view of that area. And so a number of community members have walked by, and then direct neighbors who received notices have come and spoken to us. And everyone seems to be in support of what we propose.
All right. Well, then on to my comments. First of all, I think the presentation would benefit greatly if there were some sections that actually showed the relationship of the new and the old and the heights with dimensions. In general, there's, I think, a lack of architectural character. Now, the original house has very little. This has even less. And when I look at the house across the street, which is very richly detailed with windows and materials, and there's a different material at the second story, I think this house doesn't really meet that standard at all. And I would like to see this exhibit the same level of design and detail as is demonstrated across the street. The light fixtures that you so carefully have selected and pointed out, those aren't anywhere on the elevation. So we don't really get an idea of how they will be displaced on as a character of the elevations, nor how they would be shielded by the eaves. And if they're on the first floor of a two-story, I don't see how that would shield them at all. I have some reservations about the use of a dark navy blue. So, but you're just describing it by a paint number. I would really like to see a color and material board so that we really get an accurate idea of what you're doing. But one of my biggest issues is with the second story massing. These great massive two-story heights of plaster walls are just out of character with the neighborhood, and they need some kind of articulation. Again, if you look across the street, you'll see how materials and color have been used to better scale the elevations. Let's see, the though. There's a, on the house to the west, there's a stone wainscot, which breaks up that verticality. And there's the house to at the northeast corner of Valdez and Avenida Gorion has a defined window surround. These are sort of characters that I would encourage you to look around your neighborhood and try to find some things that would break up these large masses. And then getting towards the end of it, as you've stepped back the stair on the west wall to meet that setback, I would like to see that same sort of gesture used at that master bath rather than canting the entire wall, which is completely out of character with the house. There you can see how the icon is pointing out this, the step back at the stair. I think that angular wall is very, very out of character with the neighborhood, and having a sheer plaster wall, two stories, again, just doesn't meet any kind of architectural standard I'd like to see. The second floor roof plan might, if you go to your elevation, the south elevation, please, that long, yes, in the lower right corner there, if you could zoom in, that long, long expanse is a rather, even though you've set it towards the back, is a rather looming presence. And I would like to investigate the use of a gable, such as at the first floor bedroom, to break up that mass and give it a little more life. And also on this elevation, you really, architecturally, you really can't run windows, and those are the to your bedrooms 4 and 5, I believe. You really can't run those down to where the roof intersects. They'll leak. I mean, that's just a very poor detail. And in general, the windows have no character whatsoever. And I would encourage you to choose something that is something above a mere slider. And then just finally, a little architect. It's just a very strange plan that doesn't appear to be that carefully resolved. I don't know if that's really part of our criticisms, but I will yield with those comments. Thank you, Chair Branch.
All right, very good. Martha?
Thanks, and thank you to Mr. Whalen for making those well-pointed comments. I couldn't have really synopsized it that well. So I'll just stick to the landscape. One, the arborvitae is not a plant that's typically used in our region. And I'm not sure where you're getting the information, Mr. Goodall, about the 10 to 13 foot height. The information I have researched says they get to about 40 feet. And it's a plant that's typically used in the East in Oregon and that sort of area. So I would suggest selecting a different plant for that area. And maybe you just want taller canopy trees in your rear yard to replace the smaller citrus trees to enhance your screening capabilities there. And then I would worry about your neighbors looking upon your elevations on the east and west, those stark stucco walls with no landscape screening those elevations there. I think that's really doing a disservice to your neighbors, that you need some additional landscaping on those property lines there. And then in the front, the convention of using artificial turf as what you're calling a landscape, I think, is misguided there. it's just, I see it as a way to avoid making an effort to beautify your front yard, and you maybe want to show more respect to your neighbors there. It really seems like something you'd see in the inner city. I think you really need to rethink that whole thing and do something nice to your front yard there. Maybe put a nice little canopy tree out there and some shrubbery and ground cover. It doesn't appear that you're going to be using that front yard for recreation, so I don't understand why you'd be putting artificial turf out there other than to avoid performing any maintenance on your landscape. And I agree with Mr. Whalen's comments that those windowless elevations are really quite unpleasant. And that concludes my comments. Thank you.
Okay. Greg Hart.
Thank you, Chair. I do appreciate your efforts to incorporate the neighbors' thoughts and opinions. I was curious if on the shrub height, that back or the immediate neighbor that's affected by that, did you run that portion of the plan by them?
We did not talk to them specifically about that. No.
Because that would be granting a variance, I would think. Is that correct, Mary?
Mary, I can answer that. No. I believe in this case, it just requires a land use permit. It's something that even not 100% confident on this, but I believe that if it were a standalone thing, staff could permit it. It would require noticing, a sign on the property for 10 days. But because it is part of this project, it is therefore brought to you for your determination. It is not a variance or modification of the zoning requirements.
Got it. Thank you. I do like how you minimize the scale of the second story from the street view. I do think that's effective. But I do tend to agree that some of the detail could add some more interest to that. I mean, just simply shutters on those windows or something like that. I guess I'm not as adamant about the overall design not fitting the scale and the community. I find that neighborhood, which I'm fairly close to and go by quite often, fairly eclectic. And actually the resident that you showed in the photographs across the street, I find actually out of character in the neighborhood. It kind of sticks out. I know they attempted to try to make it interesting, but it just doesn't seem to fit in my view. Let's see what others. And I think that concludes my questions and comments. Thank you.
Very good. Jonathan?
Martha's word stark was the one that I needed to find. I'd love to be able to see this family prepare their home for a happy future, but I think the overall presentation needs a little more nuancing. The east wall elevation makes it look almost like a commercial property to me, and the upper story treatment, and then the large expanses of stucco on a couple of the other elevations. Again, I would like to see that broken up somehow. Those are my basic comments.
Okay. Karis?
I am in agreement with the other board members, board member Whalen and board member Degaffe. The landscaping plan needs some help. I wouldn't recommend those trees for the back. There, they get big, very big. And having a large mass, as Dennis Whalen said, on the sides is tricky in terms of architectural, but also the color schemes that you've chosen is a very dark color, and that will heat up that building significantly, which maybe just, I would say, consider that, you know, in terms of the color that you use, how you break it up for interest and for also airflow. Because as the heat increases in that area, it will rise up to the playroom, which ends up making the playroom a very hot place from what it looks like as it's situated now. And also, if you're going to be having, you know, parents and everyone living potentially up in that higher levels, you know, you're going to want to try to mitigate that heat, and also that the flow through the playroom, you know, being dangerous and that sort of thing next to stairs and all that kind of stuff, just to consider how people move through that those upper levels. And then I am in agreement with everyone on the roof line, you know, cutting off the edges or in some way altering it so that it's not so the street front blocking off the view of the hills beyond. The windows need to be articulated. I think the location could be reconsidered a little bit, and maybe, you know, some kind of shading on the windows too, because you're going to get a lot of sun, early morning sun beaming through those windows. So maybe you can help, again, take down the heat load by doing something out front.
Okay.
Maybe use the dark colors just to highlight the windows, and then the light colors for the walls so that it's reflecting more of the heat, or, you know, you can deal with that. I'm in agreement with Member Gacy about the front landscaping. I think you can do a lot of things there. I'm not opposed to artificial turf. I think in places it can be a great place, you know, for things to happen that you don't necessarily need to take care of all the time, but do make sure that you have some sort of water catchment underneath it, or else, you know, you're going to have leaves anyway, basically, is what's going to happen. And then I'm not a big fan of lights that can't be dark sky compliant. I don't know how attached you are to those lights. I would say look around. There's a lot of options and a lot of things that look really beautiful that maybe will give you what you're looking for instead of using something that could potentially be on the edge of our requirements. First, hold water, windows, roof lines, gables, articulate the front with some kind of landscaping, and the steps. If you're going to have a lot of family members visiting, you know, consider a slope versus step. It's not a sticking point for me, but I do know that later in life, sometimes it's easier if you have a way that you can just roll something up into the house. It's easier. I hate to say that, but I'm always thinking ahead of these things. And also with the way the steps come in, it's very square, square, square. And, you know, people don't walk that way. So people end up walking corners, or things need to turn corners. So think about maybe, you know, softening a little bit when you redesign the new front landscaping.
Okay, good comments. Good comments.
Thank you.
Craig Schallenberger.
I would effectively echo Member Whalen's comments, particularly in terms of, you know, we're here seeing this for the first time, and one of our major considerations should be massing. And I don't think I could support the massing as presented. It really is, the word Member Whalen uses, articulation. It definitely needs that, but also some interplay of, you know, maybe varying roof heights or even roof types. You may want to consider hip roofs to maybe lessen the impact of the verticality here. But I don't know. I've watched that show Shark Tank, and there's a guy on there, Kevin O'Leary is his name, and he's accused of being, you know, sort of brutally honest, and I don't think he's well-liked, but his point in being that honest is that he wants to help save time and money so that we don't go off in the wrong direction. And
So in that vein, I would like to encourage, I think you really need to engage the services of a designer of some type. Not, doesn't even necessarily need to be an architect, but a building designer, because I'm sorry, but this design is awful. This needs somebody to really step in and play with the massing and play with the rhythm of the fenestration. There's just a lot wrong with it, and it needs a lot of help. And I really think you should consider engaging that type of service. I'll leave the landscaping to others, to the more qualified landscape architect and designers here. I noticed we didn't really talk about one of the sheets was colors. And I don't know about a house that is this big, especially being dark navy blue. It seems a little unusual and out of character. Maybe not, but I probably would want to see, you know, an example of that. You know, maybe if there's, I don't know, a paint manufacturer that can do some type of mock-up, or there's another building painted similar to what you're proposing. But I think this needs a lot of help, and I really think we should see this again with a different design, frankly.
Okay, I will chime in. I echo the comments of that you've already heard. I think the massing is an issue, and I'm not going to rehash things have already been said to the extent feasible, but I want to emphasize a few points. One is that one point that hasn't been mentioned, you know, it's assumed that, you know, the second story wants to be pushed to the back of the house. And to the extent feasible, that's usually a good idea. But if you're trying to squeeze that much mass back there, your south elevation is a perfect example of why you don't want to do that. It looks like you've got an apartment building standing directly behind your house. The massing is really stark was a word that was used. So in an instance like this, pulling some of that massing towards the front of the house and pushing other massing to the back creates shadow lines and articulations, and if you do stuff with the roof, it's possible. So I'm not going to belabor the point. I think it's obvious that a redesign needs to be looked at. You know, a sheer two-story mass on the north elevation going from side to side just is not going to cut it, especially with that. With that angled wall along the west side, the east side. I'm sorry. You know, I'm not against what you're proposing to do in concept, and even the phased concept is worth considering. But I think when we look at it next time, we need to really scrutinize both phases, and hopefully staff will give us the time to do that, because we need to, you know, we've spent all this time, you know, talking about phase two, and, you know, if he wasn't able to complete phase two and we're stuck with phase one, we haven't even talked about the impact of that. So I think it's important to consider that when you get your design gotten together again and refined. I think that's something that we want to kind of consider and look at it in definitely its two phases. So I think it's clear that we need to look at this again. And I think in concept what you're proposing seems great to upgrade your house, and you know, your concern for contacting neighbors and fitting into the fabric of your community is great. So, you know, hats off to you for that. And, you know, we'll look forward to seeing what you come back with. So, Mary?
Sure. Chair Branch. So it sounds like that the board has given comments to the applicant to come back and completing conceptual review. But before you do that, let's complete the process and see if there's any public comments, please.
Yes. Yeah.
Are there any attendees who wish to speak on this item? Please click on the hand raise icon now. And I'm not seeing anyone interested, Chair Branch.
Okay. Does anybody want to make a motion of continuance for this one?
Chair Branch, unless there's a date certain for continuance, that I'm not sure if the applicant wants that at this point. I don't see that June 8th is possible because of just how we deal with all the logistics of preparing staff reports. The next possible date for continuance is June 22nd. If the board wants to, if the applicant feels he's able to come back with a plan, and I think we have to backtrack that. So it might be best just to provide the comments now, and I think we do have to re-notice the project when it's ready to come back to you.
Okay.
So completing the process of providing your comments.
Well, I guess I pose the question to the applicant. Do you feel like you could be back here by June 22nd with a new design?
I think based on the amount of comments and design elements that need to be looked at, that may be tight. So we have to look after that.
So then in that case, Mary, does that mean we don't need to make a motion? It's just comments only?
That's correct. No action, no motion today. Just complete your comments to the applicant. We will work with the applicant to come back to you with the proper noticing and timing.
Okay. Well, then with that, that will conclude the board's comments on this project.
Can I say one more thing?
Harris, yes, go ahead.
Well, I don't want to discourage you from doing the project. These comments are not meant to say don't do this. Just try to tell you what it's going to take to get through. Thank you.
Of course. Okay. And thank you for presenting that. So that concludes our review of 6212 Avenida Gorion. So with that, that takes us to announcements. Any board members have announcements? Dennis?
Yes, I would like to move that member Schallenberger be heretofore known as Mr. Wonderful.
I don't know if I'll second that or not.
is there a reason for that?
Oh, by his own admission.
Oh.
Okay.
Noted.
I actually have an announcement, or actually, it's more of a question for, and then a comment. Question for staff. When are we going to start meeting in person again?
I do not have an answer for that. I know that the city is looking back in getting back into the office, so to speak. We don't know in what fashion, in terms of the format. And until we are given some specifics, we will continue in this format.
Okay, I fully understand, Mary, that you'll have to be informed by whoever makes those ultimate decisions, but I want to make the announcement, I guess, that I am increasingly uncomfortable. And it's almost a moral question where I am going to restaurants and grocery stores and Home Depot, and those people are, greeting me and entertaining me and for my needs. But I'm not doing that for the public, for their needs, when they need to come to me. This hypocrisy is really troubling, especially after the announcement from the CDC a couple of weeks ago, where they effectively said you do not need to do this anymore. And for whatever reason, County of Santa Barbara and the City of Goleta chose to ignore that, in effect, ignoring the science. And I am very uncomfortable with that. I feel like I'm doing something immoral by engaging these other entities and not providing the same in return. So I was tempted to even make the proclamation that I will not be attending these meetings until we go in person again, but I won't do that. That's a little heavy-handed, but I just want to make my feelings known on this, that this is not right what we're doing as a group.
Okay, so noted. We don't have this discussion item on the agenda, but so noted. Thank you.
Okay, anybody else? All right, with that, we're adjourned. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
And lost in our sight.